Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Boca represent.
I lotioned my uncle's ankles one time.
Did you?
The term pancake was copyrighted or something.
I need my fix. Monday from Friday to 2 to the 6. Hopman and Crowder, I tune in to bits. Competition going super intense. Both stations, man, I can't switch. Crowder don't quit. Hopman, I'm wrong. Download at odyssey.com. Shout out to Lana for bringing it strong. And everyone else that they bringing along. I'm locked in to the Hawkman and Crowder Show. Boxed in with no options, I still find a way to get my daily dose. I'm on a mission for jokes, I'm tuning in on the road. I pull it up on my phone, I pull it up while at home. Alexa, like, leave me alone.
Alexa, play Hawkman and Crowder Show.
I've had enough of you.
Boneless?
Oh, no.
That's a flavor, though, huh?
Venus Williams here. Venus, what's up?
I'm buttoning your shirt, Twan.
I'm the token boo.
Bad Bunny, da-da-ya, da-da-da-da.
Hey!
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 Hey! You look good, man.
Do I?
Well, not really. That's just what you say to people when you see them.
Right, right. I haven't seen you in a while, so.
Yeah, that's what you say.
You look, yeah, you're looking good. You're looking really good.
Well, you know, it's hard, man. I can't hide the sexy.
So, this is the best of Hawk and Crowder week. Live.
I'm ready to laugh.
Live. Best of Hawk and Crowder week. Solana, it's Crowder. We got Steven. And it's going to be a fun week, Crowder. I think. I hope.
I know.
All right. I know. We know. It's going to be a fun week. Hawk is still out. He's having some fun time with his family. I'm sure we'll hear about all his endeavors. All the food he's eaten over the past week, because I have Hawk on Snapchat, so
yeah.
You know, he's sending me a bunch of stuff on Snapchat, and
that sounds fun.
It's not
Snapchatting with Hawk in restaurants. Yeah,
that's
exhilarating.
It's not that fun. Better than Chuck Metzger snapping you, though. Much better than Chuck Metzger snapping you.
Doc, come on, Doc.
We have an exciting show. So while you guys were in Birmingham. There was a situation, and I don't even remember why, but there was a situation where Hawk brought up, or Batman was brought up, and Hawk said, well, yeah, he's half man, half bat. Mm-hmm. And, we, you know, that goes back a long way on the show. And earlier or later in that week, I asked people, like on Thursday, Friday, to text in, you know, some of the things they want to hear this week. Again, you can text in 786-360-0790. Some of the different best of moments, the classic moments of the show that you want to see or you want to hear, I should say, and somebody texted in half man, half bat. So we're going to get to that today. For no other reason than it was brought up recently, and we haven't played that probably ever.
Long time.
Right,
yeah.
Like it's been a really long time.
Yeah.
And somebody, a listener, requested it. So again, if you have a request, like this is the week where – there's not really too much going on. I know there's the Olympics. We're going to talk to Brian Scalabrine in the next segment, Crowder, about Team USA and their loss to France. I want to get your thoughts on that as well. And I know there's some Aaron Rodgers news that is breaking or broke about an hour ago. But training camp is coming up at the end of this week. And we're getting into football mode, but there's still a week left, and we're going to use it to play some of our best of moments.
They're going to be great, I'm telling you. And like you said, we're here for y'all. We're here for the listeners, our loyal listeners. So, yes, text in whatever you want to hear from the past, and we're going to give y'all some good stuff.
All right, let's do headlines here. Let's get this out of the way again. We're going to talk with Brian Scalabrine in the next segment about the NBA. I want to ask him some stuff about the Heat as well. Some big decisions coming up for the Miami Heat at the end of this week. Free agency is coming up in just about, I think, like a week, actually. I think August 2nd or something like that. And the Heat, they have some big decisions to make. Do they make Duncan Robinson a restricted free agent? Do they give him the money? Do they accept Goran Dragic's player option? Do they deny it? Do they try to trade Goran Dragic before? Like, there's actual decisions that have to be made by Andy Ellisberg, Pat Riley, Mickey Arison, and the whole front office, and Eric Spoelstra. So I'm excited to talk with Scal about that. But let's be honest, we're going to be talking about Team USA mostly, because what happened, I don't know if you find it embarrassing or not. I'll get your thoughts on it right now. By the way, Brian Scalabrine is our Odyssey NBA insider. Insider calls are brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. We'll do that in about 10 to 15 minutes. Your headlines, though, they are brought to you by Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores, truly steps beyond convenient. We'll start there, Crowder. The Olympics are fun, but I don't know if you're having as much fun as me with the Olympics. I'm watching ping pong. I'm watching handball. I've watched more swimming in the past, what, like 36 to 48 hours than I've ever watched in my entire life. I'm having a fun time with the Olympics.
Yeah, I watched the swimming I can do. Like what, Ledecky? I don't know if it was recorded. I watched it last night.
Well,
she lost.
She didn't lose. She got the silver medal.
That's losing.
No, she got the silver medal. That's
Have you ever heard of Ricky Bobby? You're either first or you're last.
But that's not her sport. Like, I'm sorry.
Her event.
That's not her event.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she's supposed to be dominant across the board. But there's no shame. There's no shame in a silver medal.
Oh, look at you.
There's
just
no shame.
Just accepting whatever happens.
No, and I know all the weirdos are going to start texting in, oh, participation trophy Solana over here. Like, there's no shame in a silver medal when you're going to win gold in all the other events anyways.
I'm just saying, like, you don't train your whole life and for 4 years to say, whew, let me come in second. I'm going to go get this second place trophy. No,
it's
Solana.
It's a silver medal.
But did she lose or win?
She got silver. She got second.
Either first or last.
All right.
But you know what? I did that just mesmerizes me. And we talked about it because you asked last week, like, the most viewed events. Bro, that gymnastics is stupid.
Crazy.
What those girls do off that damn Molly
Crazy.
Horse. Is it a Molly horse?
It's not a Molly horse, but we could call it a Molly horse if you want.
Well, a Molly horse might be a little more interesting.
The beam.
But no, the little horsey thing they flip off of. Bro.
Oh.
The gymnastics I would say it's more entertaining than basketball. That gymnastic stuff gets me. I cannot pass it on TV when I'm watching.
It is crazy. And Simone Biles is like she's not at her best right now, and she's still balling. Team USA. I think she made the finals or like the next round in every event, and Team USA got to the next event as well. But is it a Molly horse? What's that called?
Something horse. Polly horse.
We're gonna have to look that up. Maybe Scal knows.
You know, Simone Biles, we were watching last night with my wife, and she was like, why is she mad? And I was like, if you watch her, she's never happy after events. Like, she's a perfectionist. So even though they're like, oh, she had a 9.9, she'll look at the board and be mad and smile at her teammates, kind of like with a disgusted face. Every event, she's not happy with her performance, even though she's the number one on the board.
Yeah,
I love that. She's like an OG in gymnastics, which is awesome to watch. I enjoy watching Simone.
You said you don't know if it's live or if it's taped or whatever. Bro, I'm having such a hard time understanding what's taped, what's live, what's happening at 7, what happened at 3 in the morning the night before, but I'm rewatching it taped. I'm trying to watch it on Peacock, but Peacock only has one channel. I'm trying to watch it in Spanish because then Spanish might be live. I'm having the toughest time knowing what the hell I'm watching and whether it's real or not, or if I could just Google the results from 24 hours ago.
I struggle going to the central time zone. You think I'm gonna figure out across the world?
Yeah,
I can't do it.
I mean, but it like, why are they making it so? Why is NBC making it so difficult for me to just watch and know what I'm watching?
Because the time difference.
I'm over it. I'm over it. Just tell me, live or not live. Just tell me. I don't mind if it's not live, but I want to know. Because if it's not live, let's be real, I'll Google the results. Like, why am I going to watch something that's not live?
I don't think you get frustrated with the time zones. I think that's kind of just like life.
Somebody writes in pommel horse.
Pommel horse.
Pommel horse.
There we go. Yeah. So it's not the Molly horse.
Pommel horse.
Oh, okay. Pommel horse.
Again, Brian Scalabrine is coming up in about 10 minutes. So quickly, your thoughts on Team USA. Everybody's mad yesterday morning. Team USA loses to France. They had a 7-point lead with like 4 minutes left. And then Evan Fournier torches them. Rudy Gobert at times looked dominant again. Like, yeah, there was a play where he made Bam look silly. Are you upset? Are you mad? Because you know Team USA is going to get out of the group play. There's four teams in the group. Top two teams get out. They go to the knockout stages. And then there's like a select few of the third place teams. Team USA is not going to lose to Iran, who they play on. Like, they're going to be fine. I'm not panicking. But people are really upset with Greg Popovich. People are upset with Durant and Lillard. Like, are you mad that Team USA lost to France?
We're used to dominating basketball, but you're bringing up names. There's a bunch of guys playing internationally that are NBA stars that are playing for their countries around the world. I'm not upset, and I'm not scared of losing because of the fact, like, last night, what did Kevin play, 20 minutes?
Right.
Like, when they need to win, they're going to put Kevin, Dame, they're going to put all the dogs in the game and win the game. This little group play doesn't matter. They're trying to keep them healthy. You can see they're not – we just went from watching the NBA Finals and all, you know, the semifinals and everything else. You can see the drop-off in enthusiasm when they're on the court. They're shooting, no defense, everybody's playing off of everybody, giving them free shots. When they knuckle down and when they say, hey, let's go whoop some ass, I feel 100% confident, Solana, that they're going to go whoop anybody's ass around the world when the guys want to play and when KD plays more than 20 minutes.
They're still heavy favorites to win the gold medal. Like, Vegas still believes in Team USA. I'm seeing so much of this on social media, Crowder. You know, Team USA is finally realizing how different FIBA basketball is and how much more competitive and how much tougher it is. And, you know, I hope Team USA and basketball in the United States can take something from this where, you know, they're looking at the officials. And you know what? That might be true. Like, the Team USA is not used to physicality of FIBA, and that might be true. But if you think that that's more fun than watching Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and all these guys come down and put up 40 points a game, Team USA, these games are going 84 to 80. I don't want to watch that. Like, I'd rather watch 130 to 120 games. Like, this isn't as much fun. It's fun in its own right, and it's cool, and it's a different style than we're used to, and fine. Like, we want to see Team USA win. That's not funner.
No.
Is that even a word? Like, that's not more fun than what we have in the NBA. I'm so tired of everybody. Oh, this is what real basketball is. You know, Team USA, the Americans are used to getting the officiating. All of France plays in the NBA, morons. Like, what are you talking about? Literally, the whole team of France, they're Evan Fournier, Rudy Gobert, this guy that plays on the Clippers, I'm forgetting his name, Nicolas Batum. Like, Nando De Colo is hitting three after three. Like, all of them play in the NBA. It's the same style. It is a bit different because it's more physical. It is. But it doesn't mean it's better or it's more fun to watch.
Nope, we know we want to see offense. Will they have to adjust their games? I don't think so. I think they're going to fall right into place. It's this, you know, tough physicality, basketball and all. It's different. I say the officials are, they officiate different. But that doesn't make it better. And when the guys want to play, they're going to play. They're going to come out. If it has to be physical, they're going to have to drive harder. They're going to have to, you know, be more explosive and really draw the fouls and all that. But, like, to your point about people saying, oh, here we go, USA. Now we're playing real basketball. Real basketball is the NBA. The NBA is the best basketball in the world.
Of course.
So now you want to regress to whatever else there is to say, oh, now you're playing real basketball? You're not. The NBA is the top level. It's where everybody wants to be, where the most money is. I know they play basketball, you know, internationally, but come on. The NBA is basketball. So if you're going away from how that game is played, it's not a high quality of a game. That narrative is so dumb to me as well.
Maybe no JaVale McGee, though. You know, like, I'm fine with a little less JaVale McGee in general on my team, whether it's Team USA or anywhere else. A little less JaVale McGee, But like, they'll be fine. Everybody's panicking. Oh, you can't lose if you're Team USA. Why? Like, these teams are good. They're good
now. They're good.
This isn't 2004 where losing to Argentina, you probably shouldn't have lost to Argentina when you had that team. Kevin Garnett, LeBron was on that team, Melo. Like, bro, France is good now. You saw what Luka did last night, dropped 48 over yes. Argentina. Like, these are good teams now. All the players are playing in the NBA.
Talented, good teams. But to the point about the USA, the book Over the Edge is Lawrence Taylor's, you know, autobiography. And he didn't tie his shoes at practice. But the first couple days of camp, you know, they draft a new tackle or they draft some young guy that wanted to prove himself. And Lawrence Taylor would tie his shoes up. And anybody on a Giant organization saw Lawrence with tied shoes, they'd be like, damn, here yeah, we go. Lawrence is going to go crazy today. That analogy, when Team USA, when KD and Dame and these guys tie their damn shoes up and say, okay, let's go win. Bro, I don't give a damn who's officiating. It could be the Cookie Monster. They're going to win. They're going to beat all these NBA players on other teams. They're going to win, and they should be heavily favored, and I'm going to bet on them as heavy favorites.
The Marlins, they split their series with the Padres over the weekend. They won yesterday 9-3. They're off today. They play a two-game series at Baltimore beginning tomorrow. Inter Miami, your boy, Robbie Robinson, he scored yesterday, breaking a goalless drought Inter Miami's had. They didn't lose, Crowder. So I know in your world, you either win or you lose. Mm-hmm. They tied versus Philadelphia yesterday.
Oh, there's second, there's third.
No, I mean, there is. And somebody makes a good point on the text line. In the Olympics, you win a medal. So you either win silver, bronze, or gold. How can you lose if you've won a medal?
Oh, yeah, and my son's baseball league, they give the runner-up rings as well, but it's not the championship
you
ring.
You win a medal, though.
It's a runner-up ring.
Okay, but how does that make sense? You lost, but you won a medal.
Because back to the life you want to live where everybody just gets praised for everything.
No, I mean, yay. Silver medal. Silver
you go
medal's pretty
in
good.
The potty. Good job.
Silver medal's pretty good. The Florida Panthers, they made some headlines. They re-signed Sam Bennett, center, four-year deal, and they traded for Sabres right wing Sam Reinhart. Can you tell I'm a little rusty on my hockey? It's been a couple months.
I was talking to Plague and he said they'll be
yeah?
They'll be good next year. Yeah, that's my insider, Doug Plague.
Right. DP.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? You talk any you
that's
talk
not,
any
that's not his nickname.
We call him that. You talk any food with Doug Plagans?
No, I don't do that. We talk baseball and hockey. I don't talk food. That's you and your protege of Hawk and y'all's with the food and the Buc-ee's and the beef wall.
The United States men's national team, they beat Jamaica 1-0 yesterday in the quarterfinals of the Gold Cup. They'll face Qatar in the semifinal on Thursday. And your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Accident Attorney Weather Center, call 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. Partly cloudy right now. Tonight the lows will drop into the mid-70s. You think Scal is upset with Team USA or disappointed in their play? Or you think he's more on, like, our wavelength? Or it'll be all right. They'll figure it out.
Scal is on – I would anticipate he's on the, hey, pump the brakes.
Yeah.
Watch what happens.
Because he – not that he was, like, a tough guy in the end. Like, he wasn't pushing people around. But he carried that, like big guy – persona, right, in the NBA.
Yes.
I don't want to make it sound like he was, like, a bruiser or anything, but, like, he was on teams for a purpose, to come in, push people around, hit threes. I think he thinks these guys are playing soft.
We'll see. Because, yeah, he was a big man. He was the bruiser. Like, he wasn't Shaq, but Scal was a – like, Scal bald, man.
He wasn't UD, is what I'm saying. He wasn't coming off the bench to punch people when he needed to. But
he would physically play hard, but he wasn't – I don't know if Scal scared people.
Right. Right. Yeah. Maybe.
Let's ask him.
All right.
Would he try to instill fear in people's hearts? Because I don't know. I wasn't scared of Scal.
Brian Scalabrini, NBA insider for Odyssey Sports, will join us next on Hawk and Crowder.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Dennis Rodman. You want to guess how old he is?
Cocaine.
Hawk and Crowder.
Brian Scalabrini. He's an Odyssey NBA insider. He's an NBA champion. He's been joining us weekly since around the time the conference finals started. Insider calls are brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. So what do you think, Crowder? You think Scal is on our wavelength pump the brakes. Team USA will be all right.
100%. 100%.
You think he's losing patience with these guys from Team USA playing soft like everybody's saying and
lost a couple what do they call warm-up game.
Warm-up games.
Come
to Nigeria.
On, man. Take it easy. Pump the brakes. Watch what happens when they flip this switch when these games start mattering.
What do you think, Scal? Is Team USA going to be all right?
I said this to you guys last time. I don't know if they care. I don't. I mean, if you're in the NBA and you're playing against guys who are more talented, but don't play as hard, don't care, don't play for one another, all that stuff, you're probably going to lose. This is just an example of the talent discrepancy is so great, and Team USA cannot figure it out. I don't know what makes you guys think they're going to figure it out. They have yet to play well under Coach Popovich for extended periods of time.
But, Scal, my thing is, like, even KD last night, I think he had 10 points, but he played 20 minutes. My thought is that you let me know, bro, you played around these dogs your whole life. Like, my thought is that if Dame, KD, Draymond, those guys go sit down for a little bit at lunch and say, hey, let's go whoop somebody's ass tonight. They flip that switch and they go out there and whoop somebody's ass. Like, I believe they're that talented.
Yeah, but what if they don't say stuff like that? You're assuming that they do. They might not. They might not say that. They might say, oh, man, what are we doing here? I thought I was going to be able to bring my family. When I committed to USA basketball, my family really wanted to go to Tokyo and see track and field, gymnastics. They wanted to meet Simone Biles and all this stuff. Now, all of a sudden, you're on your own, no family members around, and you're asking yourself, like, what am I doing here? So, you have to want it. If you're going to win in this tournament, Luka Doncic, Evan Fournier, Patty Mills, all the guys that are playing for their country, they all want it. USA has to want it not against Iran, probably not against the Czech, but against those really good teams, they got to want it.
Again, we're talking with Brian Scalabrine, Odyssey NBA insider. What about like these reports? And again, I mean, we're so disconnected from Tokyo right now, and there's a limited amount of media there, so I don't know how much stock we're putting into stuff like this. But there was this report, Scott, I'm sure you saw it yesterday, that some of the Team USA members are frustrated with Pop trying to implement the Spurs offense, and you know, like they want to play a different type of offense, less freestyle. Like, do you put any credence into that, or it shouldn't matter? Like, with the amount of talent that they're playing, it shouldn't matter what Greg Popovich is implementing. Like, Kevin Durant should be getting his, Damian Lillard should be getting his.
Yeah, I mean, I can guarantee you that some of the players are probably saying and or thinking that, but I don't think that that's where the energy needs to be. The energy needs to be, are you pushing the ball off the floor every single time? Are you picking the ball up full court? Do you think Zach LaVine, Damian Lillard, do you think they signed up for Team USA to be picking the ball up full court? Go back and watch 2008. Go back and watch go back and watch 2012. Like, those guys got after it. It was a young LeBron, D. Wade, and they got after it on the defensive end. I'm not seeing that same intensity. So they could complain about the offense all they want. Their defense, as talented and as physically imposing as they are against France or whoever, their defense should be creating a ton of opportunities, you know, in transition, a ton of opportunities going forward, a ton of opportunities where you don't have to call plays. But that's not how Team USA plays. They walk the ball up the court, and they kind of overpass when they shouldn't. They underpass when they should. So that's where they're at right now, and that's where they've been at with Coach Popovich. And who's to say it doesn't change? I don't know if it's going to change. But what I'm seeing right now is not what I would consider the most successful way for the best players in the world to play.
And, Scott, we kind of looked it up, and, you know, I know you know guys in the Olympics, and you know this side of life. Do they get paid? Like, how lucrative is the Olympics for a player?
It's lucrative in their shoe deals, but not necessarily for the Olympics. No, it's not. You ain't doing it for the money. When you're KD making $40 million a year and $10 million off the court, you ain't going to the Olympics for money. But I'm sure it's good for your brand. You know, I'm sure it's good for the social media or whatever it may be. And I don't know what that ends up being, but you're not making a ton of money for going over to the Olympics.
Are you watching the Olympics? Like, my forget basketball in general. Like, are you watching? I know you play in a 3-on-3 league here in the United States. There's the 3-on-3 basketball league in the Olympics. I'm not sure if you're interested in that. The swimming.
Yeah,
like,
are you
watching anything? Because Crowder and I were talking about it earlier on in the show. Like, we're obsessed with Simone Biles.
Yes.
This great American hero going over there. She's been giving GOAT status. We're watching Katie Ledecky. Like we're trying to get into it.
It's tough without the fans, though, right?
It is.
Yeah, that's why I've watched the Olympics every year, and every year at 8 o'clock at night when the prime time comes on, I usually record it. Maybe start a little bit late, ready to fast forward through a few commercials. But no, I'm into it, but I'm just not into it as much without the fans. When I was watching Simone Biles do her thing, and they went to that the low angle camera shot, and you looked up and you saw nobody up in the stands. It felt like I was watching the NCAA, national championship or something like that. So I was a little bit bummed out about that. The swimming is not the same without the fans. The hoops is not the same. But I would say I'm not as into it as I have been in the past. And I think it's because, it's just a lack of fans. I'm just kind of turned off by it.
Oh, yeah. And back to basketball. One more thing to basketball. They the officiating is different in the Olympics than the NBA, and people are talking about, oh, that's what the U.S. is getting because they're used to, the refs calling every little slap in the NBA. Now it's the 87-91 games, and you're not going to score 130. Like, do you enjoy watching this basketball? Me and Solana were talking about it. Like, I love 130-120 games. Is it quote unquote better basketball if it's 85-81?
I don't enjoy 130, 120, at all. I don't enjoy it. What I really enjoy, you watched Nets Bucks. I really enjoy watching PJ Tucker, lay it all on the line and still not be able to stop Kevin Durant. And the referees weren't really protecting him or anything like that. I love great defense and even better offense. I don't love good defense and bailed out by, the officials. So I am all for playoff basketball. I'm all for what we've been seeing throughout the finals. I'm all for the way FIBA calls it. I'm all for, the greatest basketball players in the world should play the most physical game in the world. I coach 14-year-old girls. That AAU game that I coach is more physical than the NBA, and that should not be the case. It shouldn't. And I'm not. And listen. I'm not down on my 14-year-old girls, but they are way more physical than the NBA allows. And I think it's bad. I think people who love basketball would say, I want to see people getting after it defensively and guys still knocking down shots. Just like what we saw in the 90s with Jordan and how Kobe would deal with the physicality and still get his shot up. I want to see more of that. I don't want to see inflated stats.
Do you really believe that, though, Skyle, that, there's basically no physical – you really believe that? There's no physicality in the NBA? I don't believe it.
I know it. What do you mean believe? I don't know. I don't need to believe. I know it. There is no physicality in the NBA. Don't look at the playoffs. Watch a regular season game. Any 50-50 guy throws his body into a big, snaps his head back, boom, two free throws. You know what that does to that big? Now the big feels like he can't guard. You can't guard in the NBA anymore because everything is a foul. And the way it ends up is that's why guys have inflated stats. You get two easy free throws, four easy free throws. Next thing you know, the hoop looks like an ocean to you. So, no, to be honest with you, I don't enjoy it. I call it. I watch it. I don't enjoy it. But I really enjoyed the playoffs because I thought they were more physical.
All right, but, I'm watching FIBA, right? And the games are ending 85-80. As a young person who grew up watching the NBA, and I'm not questioning you, clearly you played in the NBA, you cover it better than I do, you're a former NBA player, you see it differently than I do, but that to me isn't fun. I'm consuming it, I'm thinking, I don't want to see a game that ends 85-80. As somebody who watches the NBA and enjoys it, I prefer, and I get what you're saying. These guys, they go to the line, and you're right about the inflated stats, and you make a great point about a defender now feeling like he can't guard a player the way he should be able to guard him because, the referees are just blowing the whistle whenever. But can't there be, a mixture in between somewhere where it's not you know, somebody going to the line and getting taken out like Laimbeer did in the 80s against Jordan,
sure,
but it's also
sure.
not Damian Lillard shooting 36 free throws a game or James Harden doing
okay.
it.
I got the answer for you because that's what I do, right? Because I don't watch all the other sports. So I'm fine with no hand checking. Like back in the day, they hand checked. And I'm fine with like protecting the player on the flagrant fouls. I'm not. When I say I enjoy watching the 90s, it doesn't mean I want all the rules from the 90s to come. But here's the play. Trae Young drives. Guy's moving his feet. Trae Young takes his shoulder, throws it right into the chest of the defender. The defender has his hands back. Trae Young snaps his head back. Trae Young's going to the line for two. And I love Trae Young. I do. But I don't think that should be a foul. If you're a defender and you're using your chest, I think that that's a legal guarding position. I don't think that you should be able to use your arms. I think if you put your hand on somebody and they rip that ball up and you get arm, I think that should be a foul. But I don't think that NBA defenders should not be allowed to use their chest on the defensive end of the floor. And I think the offenses would adapt to it. And I think the defenses will adapt to it. But I cannot understand how a guy is sliding his feet. And nor would I want to put this on the officials where you say one is a foul and one is not a foul. I can give you 80 calls where a guy uses his chest throughout the NBA season, and we can vote on it. Do you think that's a foul? Do you think that's not a foul? And I guarantee you, your opinion, my opinion, the official's opinion, everyone would get it differently and everyone would get it wrong. All I'm asking for is the way that the playoffs were officiated. That's all I want. And don't tell me that the playoffs are officiated differently than the regular season. The playoffs, are officiated the same. There's no way you can watch that and think that. So, Solana, did you like the playoffs and the way that was officiated? Did you like the physicality of the playoffs? Then you like the basketball that I'm talking about.
Yeah, actually, you're making a good point. D. Wade must have drove you and other guys nuts, right? The pump fake, and when the defender jumps up, he jumps into the defender.
I didn't mind that. I don't mind that. I just don't mind. I don't want the players to not be able to use their chest on the defensive end. That's it. No more than that. I'm a fan of old school basketball. I just think you're allowed to use your chest when you defend. If your hands are back and you use your chest, I'm okay with that. I don't think it should be a foul. I think that is a legal guarding position. And that's the only call that I want eliminated from the NBA. That's it.
Scott, we were talking about this before you came on. Were you the, I don't want to say enforcer, like you out there whooping guys' asses, but like when you went in the game, were you supposed to bring a little physicality for your team to the game?
Yeah, like if I gave up an and one, I probably wouldn't play for 2 weeks. So just look at it that way. I might not have wanted to be an enforcer. That might not be my personality. But there does come a point where you got to do what you got to do to survive and make a living, right? And whether you want to or not, like I could not give up an and one. I could not jog back on defense, right? So if you consider that an enforcer, that's an enforcer. But there are so many more like guys that were way more enforcers than I was. But I just knew in my world, I could not give up stuff like that. Ticky tacky fouls and one. So yeah, that was it. That was about as enforcer as I got. And I only did it because I wanted to play and make a living for my family.
Brian Scalabrine again, Odyssey NBA insider. Really quickly, I wanted to actually really focus the interview around this, but we kind of got caught up with something else. Free agency's around the corner. The Miami Heat right now, to bring it locally, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo are your core. And a lot of people down here in Miami have their eyes set on Kyle Lowry. And I know other teams are as well, so it's not really a given that he'll end up in Miami. But is that a trio? And it's not a big three, and I know it's not probably better than the Bucks, but is that a team you could see contending in the East for the next year or two? Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, in the conversation. Like, that's all you want to be nowadays with all the
right.
injuries and stuff, just be in the conversation. So, you know, Jimmy Butler was super upset that they did not trade for him. So, I don't think, from what I hear in Miami, loves Duncan Robinson, and so they would have to renounce his cap hold. Or
right.
I guess at that point, they can sign him later and go over to tax or
yeah.
go over to cap. But, I would be curious if they have to do a sign and trade or anything like that. But obviously, Kyle Lowry would be a great addition to what they're doing. But you would still need Duncan Robinson and those other guys to really get it going. You can't just rely on those three. That's just the uniqueness about the Miami team. If you know, you would need another guy. I think it could be Tyler Hero can get better. It could be Duncan Robinson making more shots. But, yeah, Miami's in the conversation if they sign Kyle Lowry. Geez, those guys are probably in the conversation even if they don't sign Kyle Lowry because they're just the Miami Heat.
Man, talk about ending the combo on a high note. That's what I – man, Scott has some culture running through his veins. I love it. I love it. Brian Scott.
How'd the culture work out this year?
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that, Scott.
Don't do this to Solana,
man. Don't do that.
I go through this 2 hours a day with this culture thing in him.
Scott,
it's the greatest thing ever. No one talks about the Miami Heat losing because they lost at 1 o'clock on a Memorial Day. And it's like they actually never lost that playoff series.
No, I mean, you know, Scott, injuries, COVID. This season was a wash anyways. Let's be real.
Wait, when you have injuries and COVID, what happened to culture?
COVID took over culture.
Scott, we appreciate it, man. Thank you.
You got it, guys. See ya.
That's Brian Scalabrine. He's an NBA insider, an Odyssey NBA insider, and all insider calls are brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. We know life is busy, so come to Shell to fill up, save up, and snack up to make the most of the stop you need to make. Always like talking to Brian Scalabrine. I guess we were kind of right, kind of wrong. He expects these guys to be okay, but he wants to see them play more physically.
Yeah, yeah. No, it makes sense. Defense is being taken out of basketball. Like, it really is. It's where, hey, and we said it. Like, I love to see the guys drop 45 on a night. But if you're dropping 45, the score is probably going to be 120, 130. And there's a guy in front of you that's not allowed to touch you. Scal made some great points. I think he articulated it perfectly.
He's right. And I typically hate the guy that goes, what about Jordan? He was always getting killed. And I typically hate that argument. But, man, sometimes watching James Harden, 35 free throws a night, it's boring. Like, you don't want to see that.
No.
You don't want to see that. And it is inflated stats. He does make a good point.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. More next on Hawk and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Another one.
Hawk and Crowder.
Crowder and I were just laughing because of this song. The good time. You broke up to a girl. To this song, right?
Y'all made fun of me because I put together like a soundtrack for the breakup because I was driving her. I used to drive her stick shift Honda Civic, and I was driving a car, but I was going to break up with her. So I thought when I called her into her own car to have a little breakup ambiance.
So you thought that the best way to break up with a girl is to first put together a list of songs to set the mood for the breakup.
Yes. Now, as a 37-year-old, it sounds dumb as hell. But little 20-year-old Crowder, man, I thought that was a great idea.
You know, at least you put some effort into it, right?
See?
Like, you didn't just text her. You could have called her. You could have ghosted her.
You know what? Yeah. Or what is that? Harlem Nights. I could have called her and said, hey, I'm not coming back. Take
right,
it easy.
Right.
No. I put effort into the breakup.
We have this as one of our best of segments, actually. Crowder, I'm pulling out all the tricks this week. All right, man. Whatever can lead us into a best of is we're gonna get to it. So here it is in a weird way to start off the best of Hawk and Crowder week ahead of training camp. Channing Crowder explaining how he broke up with a girlfriend at UF with Boys to Men.
Ridiculous. Is it hacky to play that Boys to Men song when you're going to break up with somebody?
Oh, yeah.
I just have it in the car one. I broke up with a high school girl. A college girl.
You mean you turned it on like there was you couldn't say it enough on your own? You needed to have musical accompaniment?
She had a black stick shift Civic. And the first time I learned to drive a stick shift was in college because I wanted to use her car. And she was a junior and I was a freshman. Had her Civic and I was driving her Civic and became an all-SEC All-American, and I said, hey, I need to explore these streets. I don't need to be hugged up with you at this damn quadruplex that we live in.
In this stick shift Civic.
Got to get out of this Civic. I can be in a Civic all day. Look at that girl. She has a Land Rover. I want to drive with
her. How quickly fame changes someone.
So, yes, I went and got her in her own Civic, and I had my little playlist set up, and I had all like
get out of
kind
here,
of low,
though, like,
slow playing songs because we went riding around. And
but
I wanted to set the mood.
In the background, or did you say, "Hey, I made this mixtape. I'd like you to listen." Like did you telegraph it? That, no, hey, here's some songs because I don't have the guts to just tell you I'm breaking up with you, so Boys to Men will do it?
To be honest, I took all my stuff out because I was a freshman. I couldn't leave campus yet. So she had her little quadra room off campus where I stayed with her. And so I took all my items out of her room because I had my little section in the closet, my little drawer. So I went over there, took it out the room, left the key in the hole, in the door hole.
Lord.
But then I had her car. I used to drive her car. Yeah, play it. So I used to drive her car around. So I have to dump her, but I'm picking her up. So I'm like, well, let me set it up with the music. Let me drive towards the apartment we shared together.
You wanted to make it a Hollywood production?
I just wanted to let her off lightly, and I don't think it worked because she ended
lightly?
Up,
you made it a big production.
She punched me in my face.
Yeah, well, you kind of deserved it.
Now, when I talk about that whole thing where it's just crazy to me, a man hitting a woman, because I've been destroyed
by
a woman.
She really punched you in the face?
She hit me full force. Like, I had coaches.
In the face?
Yes, right in the eye. I had people ask me what happened. I had to lie. It's not funny at all.
But because she was
down the stairs. I ran into the wall
but
at night.
But because she was angry that you were breaking up with her, or she didn't like the way you were doing it?
She didn't like my explanation. I never think about why.
Did you explain to her it was because you're now an All-American?
But no, I didn't. That's, you can't tell a woman that. You have to say, hey.
Well, that would be punch-worthy.
But I heard this a lot on those shows back in the day. What was it with the crazy guy that they fight and the strippers come out and get naked?
Oh, Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer. Like, a lot of times people broke up, they'd be like, we grew apart. And I don't know what that means. Like, I don't even know what the hell that means. But I thought that was a good out. So I was like, hey, you know, we grew apart. Just things were different. I got here. I'm 18.
He had met her 3 days before. Right. We grew apart.
Now I'm 18 and a half. Like, we need to. I've grown in these last 6 months.
Flex my adulthood. As you know, I became 18 3 days ago.
And she was a soccer player. People that, much of my friends, listen, they know what the hell I'm talking about. And she called me with a right. I said, wow. Take it easy.
That's crazy,
and
man.
I had to take the bus home.
And was
I had
it
to get
your CD or cassette that was playing?
Yeah. After that right hook, everything but my bag in the trunk was left. I didn't give a damn what was in that car. Can you pop the trunk? My eye was throbbing. Can you pop the trunk? How you going to get home? Listen, don't worry about me and home. I'm going to get Joe Cohen to come pick me up.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Roses are red. Violets are blue. Let me go hit that ATM, boo.
Hawk and Crowder.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.